as a way of thanks, last weekend, apparently I lost my job. That's what I've been told. Jerry did such a good job. They were like, is he preaching today? I said, no, I'm sorry, you got me. And then Rick did the Lord's Supper and did a nice job with that. So it is such a blessing to have a great staff to work with, and I'm just very fortunate just to be a small part of what God's able to do here at this place. Some of you know that one of my favorite cash crops at my home is poison ivy. No, I didn't get into it this week. I'm just giving you an update. But you know, I've been fighting poison ivy for a year now on our house, and I go out there with, like, you know, the chemicals, and I mix. It says, like, put, you know, like 3 tablespoons per gallon. I put like 20 tablespoons per gallon. And I have been spraying this stuff and cutting at this stuff and pulling on this stuff. And do you know what? Every time that stuff comes back up, you know what it is? This is deep. You ready? It's still poison ivy. Y'all are sharp, man. You're going, he went all the way to Mexico for this. All right. I want you to understand, I want to talk to you this morning about the connection that we have in Christ. And as we finish up this idea of the Holy Spirit, because here's the reality. Every one of us without Christ is like that old poison ivy vine. We're not that good for anything, you know, but to annoy people. And we just kind of, you try to change. I've tried to change. You know, I've gone out there and prayed over. You know, I've gone out and prayed over my poison ivy vines. I said, Lord, would you change this vine into blue bonnets? He hadn't answered my prayer yet, I can tell you that. And why is that? Because a poison ivy vine is a poison ivy vine is a poison. It's just what it is. It's not going to change. Why? And it's going to keep on shooting up growth. It's going to keep shooting up stuff that I'm going to keep spraying until I probably die or I move from that place, because it's not ever going to change, because it's connected to the roots. It's connected to the vine. And that's what I want to talk with you about this morning, is this idea of this connection that we have in Christ. We've talked about a number of things in this series. We talked about a series about the connection in the first weekend. We've talked about the powerful role the Spirit plays in bringing us. Then Jerry talked last week eloquently, I've been told. I've not had a chance to listen to it yet, from 2 Timothy, about that connection. And now, as we close this series, I want to draw your attention to a passage back in John chapter 15, where we're talking about the idea of the vine and the branches and the connection and who we are, and this idea of the branch. And Jesus uses an analogy to describe this, I want to use a word, life force that we have. Because we're in Christ, we have a connection always with the Holy Spirit. He's flowing into us. He's connected. You're connected to Him, and you're part of Him, and that's who you are if you're in Christ. And if you are, here's what happens. There's 4 things that come out of this. Is you're going to glorify God in 4 different ways, in 4 different areas. And I want you to see that this morning, just in our time together. We'll be done by noon. Y'all okay with that? Okay. See, I'm trying to make it easy on you. We won't be here till 3, just noon. All right, glorify God, first of all, through spiritual. You'll glorify God through spiritual productivity. Look at verse 8. I've given you a couple extra words in there to try to help you kind of grasp the idea. So the stuff in the parenthesis is I've added for emphasis, okay? So catch this. He says this, by what? By what? By walking in the Spirit, by being connected to the vine, by being part of Christ. Because you're in Christ, here's what happens. My Father is glorified that you do what? You just sit there and annoy people. No, you've got a different connection now. You've got a connection in Christ called the Holy Spirit that causes you to do this. It's in bold. What? Bear much fruit. So I'm going to call y'all a little fruity this morning. Is that all right? Y'all with me? You're supposed to be spiritually fruity. All right? You're supposed to be producing something if you're connected to the vine. If you're not connected, guess what happens? You're dead. You know, I cut that old crazy poison ivy off. I'll cut it off. I'll let it lay there. I'll come by and mow it up. It's gone. Doggone it, that stuff grows again. But that stuff I cut off is what? It's dead. It's never going to do anything. But when you're connected, you bear what? Fruit. John, when we come to these verses, John's in the middle of a discussion talking about the vine. I love the visual of us being part of the vine. And using this analogy of interconnectedness and being connected to the vine, Jesus speaks to this absolute need that you and I have to not be disconnected, but to be connected, to be plugged in, to be part of it. And I think Jesus is not talking to the world. So if you're not a believer here this morning, this really isn't for you. This is for those of you who have said, yes, I'm going to follow Christ. Yes, I'm going to be a part of the kingdom. Yes, count me in. I'm in. This is for you. He's talking to his inner circle, and he's saying to them, he says, I want you to get ready, because the day's coming when I'm not going to be here, because I'm going to die for the sins of those who are going to receive forgiveness, and then I'm going to rise on the third day, and then I'm going to return to heaven, and I'm going to be in heaven. But what's going to happen? I'm going to send you who? The Holy Spirit. And he's going to dwell within you, and he's going to be your connection, and he's going to bring about productivity in your life, spiritual productivity in your life. His big picture is basically this. If you're going to be productive in the kingdom of God and serving God, you got to be connected. If you're not connected, you're not going to be part of what God's doing. It just doesn't work that way. You're going to be filled. So, in fact, the big idea is this. If a branch is ever going to produce, what does it have to have? Roots, connection. I've got some big old hairy, I call them hairy vines. You know what I'm talking about? Hairy poison ivy vines. Those things, I'm not joking, are like tree vines. They're huge. I can spray those things until the cows come home. And what's going to happen? It's going to keep shooting stuff out. Why? They've got a good root. They've got a good firm grasp in the ground. I don't care how much poison goes in the top, it's got moisture coming out of the bottom, it's going to keep right on going. That's what he's talking about. He's talking to this group of people who are part of his kingdom, part of those who are going to radically change the world. And out of this small group of people, 11 who stay with him, what happens? The largest group of people who are called a religion on planet Earth come out of that. Why? Because they were so smart. Fishermen. Nothing if you're a fisherman. I'm not telling you dumb. But fishermen, you've got a tax collector. That's real helpful, you know. You've got, these aren't the deepest guys in the world. And yet, because they connect to the Father, what happens? Something amazing happens. There's a productivity that comes out of that. So here's what I want you to catch for you, for me today. In the Spirit, if you're in the Spirit, here's what happens. You'll be productive. You go, well, I got to work at this. I got to figure out how to do it. I got to go. No. I don't have to tell a poison ivy vine to grow. I don't have to tell a tree to put out leaves. I don't have to tell the grass, hey, I'd like for you to grow this week. Would y'all think about growing this week? It grows, right? Why? It's nature. And I want you to grasp in Christ, if you're connected to the Spirit, growth is part of the process. Now, you can do things to help and you can do things to hinder, but the reality is it's supposed to be happening, I'm going to use the word automatically, if you're connected. My suspicion is this: God would rather bring about productivity in your life as you're in Christ and the Spirit is able to lead you. See, a big part of being in Christ is this, learning to let the Spirit lead. Spirit, I want you to lead. I want you to show. I want you to reveal. I want you to tell. So get the big idea. God wants every part of his vine to what? Bear much fruit. Now you go, well, I can't do as much as she can, and I can't be as productive as he is, and I don't do. Quit looking at them. Quit looking at the ones who are like the super achievers and go, I wish I could do everything they did. And since I can't do what they do, I'll just quit doing anything. That's a good solution. Not really. Instead, say, God, I just want to do whatever it is you want me to do. I'm available. I'm here. I want to be productive. I believe that what he's talking about in this text is as much about you bearing fruit at what your level is today. Can I tell you something? The more you follow Christ, the more productive you'll be. To whom much is given, much is required. And And that idea of principle comes in. So what I want you to catch, spiritual unproductivity should not be the norm in the child of God. It should not be. That doesn't mean every day you're going to have this huge harvest, but every day you're going to be part of something. Every day you're going to see God do something. You're going to see some area where he's at work if you're connected. By this, by being connected to the vine, my Father's glorified. Yes. And the way that happens is you bear fruit and something happens. Look at number two. Look at verse 9. You'll glorify God through productivity, but you'll also do it through a peacefulness. Look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Y'all like that? You like being loved? Absolutely. That was my word all week in Mexico. Absolutely. Actually, it was absolutamente. Okay? We like being loved. We may act like, oh, no, I don't know. I don't like it when people love me. We do. Let's just be honest. Can we be honest today? We like being loved, right? Okay, the alternative is I like being hated. Okay, we like the idea of the Father loving us. And here's how it happens and it flows out. We abide in his love. So this aspect we talked about first is this connection. The second aspect is this connection to the vine. It brings a peacefulness. Look at the verse again. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus tells those who are really, truly his followers, they're going to abide. Now, the word abide is kind of an interesting word. I don't use that word a lot in vocabulary, do you? It's like I don't go around going, I think I'll go abide in my office for a few hours and plan a sermon. We don't do that. We don't use that word. So we kind of go, well, what is he talking about here? The word abide can be taken a couple different ways. You can take it as you're going to stomach all you can take. I'll abide. I'll get by. I'll get through it. I'll get it. Or you can do something else. Or you can abide in another way. Man, this is exciting. This is great. There's a peace here. There's an assurance here. There's a direction here. I know that he's here and I know he's working and I don't fully understand all that's going to happen, but that's what he's talking about here. He's saying to his followers, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. So let's just camp out there. You want to? Abide there. Rejoice there. Enjoy that. Revel in that. Be a part of that. See, one man said this, when Christ's love is free to consume, there is truly love. What Jesus is telling his disciples is kind of like this. While they could love at one level, I love you. But the real love happens here. The deeper love happens here. The broader love happens here. And it's kind of a scary prospect when you start to think about it. When you let the love of Christ and the love of God and the love of the Holy Spirit begin to overflow in your life and to fill you completely, and let's use the word consume you completely, you're kind of going, am I going to lose myself in that? No. He's going to use you as you are to be a part of his kingdom. I love it when I watch people who get this, and they begin to go, okay, I'm going to serve. And you kind of go, well, I wouldn't serve that way. I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have done it this way. Stop. God works through them the way he's going to work through what? Them. And it's going to look different. And there's going to be a peacefulness. You're going, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. This is exactly what God has for this moment in my life. So here's what I want you to grasp. In the spirit, you're not going to be productive. You'll be peaceful. Y'all like peace? I love peace. I hate conflict. Oh, I hate it. Hate it with a passion. Absolutely hate conflict with a passion. I think most of us are like that. Most of us aren't going, I think I'd like to have some conflict in my life today. That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? Let's go have an argument. My wife's coming home, Lord willing, tomorrow night. I think I'll pick an argument with her when she comes in after 2 weeks of being gone. Wouldn't that be fun? I wouldn't be here next Sunday if I do that. She'd win. She knows how to kill me. I'll just tell you. Peace is part of what we crave and we want. When you talk about, we're going to talk about passion in a minute, but I want to talk about peace here for a minute. Whatever circumstance in which you find yourself, bringing about a commitment will become now true in your life. No more is it going to be this idea, well, we're happy, we've got our little circle, and we're good, and we're there, us four, no more. The big idea instead is going to be this: God, I want to be right where you want to be. Can I tell you something? Yesterday morning, or this end of this week, we were praying about traveling back, back through parts of Mexico, back to the border. And y'all, some of you kind of go, well, that's crazy. I can't believe they would even go down there. That's just so dangerous. Let's go to Dallas together. I'll take you to parts of Dallas. And you'll go, why are we here? Right? So you don't look at it on the surface. You look at it from a spiritual perspective. One of the things that, as we were praying on Friday afternoon before we went down to finish up our rec time and time with the kids in the plaza, is I was praying that day, and we kind of rotated praying. And my prayer was this: God, take us home safely in the morning. You like that prayer? I like that prayer. But I had to go on and say, God, whatever you want to bring our way, if it's your will, bring it. Now, why would you pray that? Are you praying for God to send trouble your way? Oh, no. You're praying for what? God's purpose and his direction. I wanted us to be a group who came home abiding in his love. If you could have taped the conversations in the van on the way home from the airport last night, you would go, oh my gosh, these people are nuts. It may have been lack of sleep, or it could have been the Spirit at work, because we were right where God wanted us to be at that moment. That's what I want for you, but to find not a peace in the sense that there's never a struggle, never a conflict, never an issue, never a problem, but instead a peace that says, I am exactly where God wants me right now, abiding in his love. That, my friends, is something worth having. You go, but I don't want to have struggle. I don't want to have pain. I don't want to have difficulty. So, you know, have you ever noticed that God sometimes teaches us the best lessons through the hardest moments? At least he has in my life. I learned some things in the ugliest days, and I go, wow, that's what he wanted me to know. I wish I could have got that before I got to that mess. Right? Come on down, verse 10. Jesus goes on. Remember, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his I started to say homeboys. That's not right. I don't know where that was. That's probably lack of sleep. We'll just chalk that one up to lack of sleep. All right. He's talking to his inner circle. That's more spiritual sounding. Let me try it again. He's speaking to his inner circle of followers. Is that better? All right. He's talking to those guys on the inner side, and he says this to them. He said, I want you to have not only productivity and peacefulness, but I want you to have a what? A passion. Now, we're not talking about that kind of passion. So, parents, we're okay. We're talking about a spiritual commitment that says, I gotta be a part of what God has for me. That's what he's trying to teach his disciples before he leaves. He says, if you keep my commandments, here's our word again, you'll what? Abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So notice what's going on here. We've been talking about the Spirit and we're talking about Jesus' words, but now he's pointing to who? One level up, right? He's talking about the Father now, okay? Catch that. There's a passion here. In fact, this statement, if you really want to have a little interesting conversation over lunch instead of roast preacher, do this. Take this verse, 15:10, and compare it to 14:15. Here's what Jesus does. Look at verse 10:15. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. In 14:15, he turns it all the way around. Flips it completely on the other side and says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What? Which one is it? At first blush, you kind of might look at Jesus and go, okay, which one is it? Keeping the commandments or loving you? Keeping the commandments or loving Jesus? Which one comes first? Which, the chicken or the egg? This is that, you know. Jesus' answer says, yes. Yes. Don't you hate when people answer questions like that? You go, huh? Which one is it? Is it loving you and or is it keeping the commandments? And Jesus' answer is yes. They go together. Because as you keep the commandments, you're going to love a God. If you love God, you're going to keep them. It just, you can't figure out. It just happens all at once. And so he, in many ways, what Jesus is describing here is this passionate love relationship between him and his followers. He says, we're going to walk together. We're going to be together. And oh, by the way, I'm going to be gone. So I'm going to bring to you the one you need. And he loves them. As he loves them, he gives them a series of commands. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a part of this. Do this, here, here, here. Don't do this, this, this. And he says, okay, if you love me, you're going to do that stuff. And you're not going to do that stuff. You're going to be a part of it. And as they follow the commands, here's what happens. They start to reveal love because they're doing the passion of what he wants. Now you're going, okay, well, they only had to keep up with 10 commands, so it's pretty easy. No, there was 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Go through and count them sometime. You got free afternoon? Just start flipping through there and start counting them. 613 commandments. Well, I was told there's only 10. They put 10 on the courthouse lawn. Oh, no, that's just the Big Ten. There's more than that. There's 613 of those things, okay? And what he's going beyond that. What he really seems to be indicating is this. Those commands, here are those commands he brings to the life of those who follow him are more than just general commands extending to particular commands for each follower. As these disciples listen to the general commands for all, they would also discover this. Now catch this. Specific areas where God is speaking to them and directing them and calling them. And what he's doing in your life, in my life, and if you're a child of God, your life, this. He's giving you a passion for a certain area, a certain particular ministry, a particular aspect. And he says, we're going to walk together on this. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments. Why was Jesus there? Really what he's talking about, can I tell you, is this, purpose. What are they about? What are they there for? What's the heart? What are you going to do when I'm gone? Well, we thought we would like build a temple and we'd put up a picture of you and we'd just sit around and talk about you. Sound familiar? We do a lot of talking about Jesus, don't we? Hello? But do we have a passion that Jesus gave us? You're going, well, you mean talk for the church? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for the church. We need one. I'm talking about your life, my life. What's your passion? See, when you hear the call of Jesus to take part of the kingdom, the follower not only has a general kind of guideline, he wants to have you go deeper, and he wants you to become closer, and he wants you to abide, and he wants you to have this passion. And because their commitment to the ways of God, there's going to be a reciprocal relationship. And that's what I want you to catch. If you're in the Spirit, I keep coming back to that, because listen, if you're not a child of God, you don't have the Spirit. You're not a bluebonnet. You're poison ivy, okay? You with me? It's just the way it is. In the Spirit, here's what you're going to find. Here's our word. This is not deep this morning, guys. It's what? Passion. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you are going through the motions of following Jesus? I'll put my hand up because I am a lot of times. I get up. I got to do my reading because that's what I'm supposed to do. I better spend a few minutes in prayer because that's what I'm supposed to do. I guess I ought to go to church. Not just because they pay me, because that's what I'm supposed to do. We've talked about this idea of being productive and peaceful, but I want you to understand that in Christ, if you're really connected to him and he's changed you from being poison ivy to a bluebonnet, to use my analogy, you're going to have a passion about something in God's kingdom beyond showing up and sitting. I personally, I think you ought to have a passion about showing up. But that's another sermon, okay? I'm talking about this idea that says, I want to be in the middle of God's purpose, and God has shown me for today, this is his purpose for me. See, a huge part of following God by the Spirit is finding that area or areas where he desires you to plug in. Well, Patrick, don't you understand? We're supposed to do it all. Oh, my goodness. We want you to be in the choir. We want you to teach Sunday school class. Can you serve on 6 committees? Can you go on 2 mission trips a year? Be sure and go to camp. Oh, and we need to be in beach club. because we need your help there to help minister to the kids. And we might do a backyard Bible club here. Oh, and Bible school's coming. You got to be a part of that. And you got to, you know what? After a while, you know what happens? Hello? It's like shooting a shotgun. You hope you hit something, but you're not real effective. Are you saying we shouldn't do all that stuff? Oh, no. Don't quote me on that one. What I'm saying is if you're connected to the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to have a passion for an area or areas that you go, I got to be a part of that. And can I tell you something? There's a secret here. If we start living our lives with a passion for an area of ministry or service as God's children, and we really get plugged in and really get passionate about it, you know what begins to happen? God can change lives. Starting with, you'll like this because it's for you. Starting with you. You'll want to get up in the morning. You'll want to be involved. You won't be a drudgery going, I've got, can I tell you something? I do struggle with the treadmill because I think we all do. But can I tell you something? Sunday afternoon, you may or may not know this about me. Sunday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, I usually come back to the office. You know why? Because I just love sitting in my office. It's such a pretty place. Our flower committee did a great job of decorating it. Oh, it looks great. Nope. Do you know why I come back? Because I start getting into the Word for next Sunday. And I go, I get to start looking at next Sunday's text and start thinking about what God might have for us. You're going, aren't you tired like at 4 o'clock? Don't you know you have a service at 6? Hey, did y'all know we have a service at 6? And we get together. And here's the thing. It's kind of crazy. I get to start digging into the Word again. Can I tell you something? I found one of my passions. What's yours? What's yours? Where's God giving you a heart and a passion? See, in the Spirit of God, He's going to give you that passion. He's going to bring you an area that you're going to go, I gotta. Not because you want to necessarily, but because God wants you to. It may be area of children's ministry. It may be music. It may be missions. It may be yada, yada. It doesn't matter what it is. You go, well, I don't know how my gift could ever be used in the kingdom of God. Give it a shot. You might be surprised. The most effective people in life are those who are passionate about what they're doing. What's your passion? These are those people who are the game changers. You know, they get in there and make a difference. I believe with all my heart, passion is not because you go, well, I think this is what I'm going to do. Can I tell you something? I think I've told you all this before. I really don't like getting up in front of people. You don't believe that? I don't. Give me an office and a stack of commentaries and I will study all week. Love it. You're going, huh? You don't believe that, do you? I'm giving some looks up here in the choir going, you're nuts. You're not telling us the truth. Yeah, I am. I could go a week, speak to no one. Doesn't bother me. The most draining weeks in my life are when I go on a mission trip and have to hang out with church people all week. I didn't say I didn't like it and I didn't feel called to it. It's just the most draining week of my life. And you're going, he didn't like it. No, it's not that. It's how God put me together. Some people say, well, you're hard to get to know. Yeah, because I'm hard to get to know. Hello. Because my passion connects with my personality of how God created me with my spiritual gift. You're going, but that shouldn't be that way. You ought to be nicer. I should be. God's still working on me. You know that? For that, I am grateful. For that, you're grateful, I'm sure. Okay, let's move on. One more thing I want you to see. Not only is there going to be a productivity and a peacefulness and a passion, there's also going to be plenty. Look at the last part of verse 11, or just look at verse 11. These things, Jesus says, I've spoken to you, my disciples, my inner circle, I've spoken to you. Why? So that you can have this big, heavy burden and have a list of things you got to do, and you got to all look exactly alike. That's not what he says, is it? He says, I've spoken to you that my what? My joy. Who's writing? Are those letters red in your Bible? If you got one of those Bibles? He says, my joy. I want my joy to what? Be hidden from you so that you have to go seeking for it in the deepest, darkest parts of the world, and you'll probably never find it. Y'all with me? He says, my joy may be where? In you. I like that. In you. You like that? I love that. And this gets better. It's kind of like Christmas morning. We're opening the big present now. You ready? And that you could just endure that sermon on Sunday morning from the guy who doesn't really want to talk to me because he's an introvert and would rather sit in his office and study. That you're what? Whose joy? Let's make it real personal. You ready? That whose joy? That my joy. What? My joy would be full. I don't want joy. I want to be unhappy. I want to just plod through life and just figure out how to get to the end. God has more than that, doesn't he? He has joy. You're going, we're never going to get out of here by noon. He told us an hour. Okay, we got 4 minutes. You ready? This morning, consider verse 11. Jesus tells his disciples this. I've given you this relationship with me for the express purpose of blessing God, blessing others, and blessing you. That's why I gave you the Spirit. So your joy would be, they would be moving, living, breathing, being where the Spirit wants them. So how would the Spirit get them to where they needed to be and them to be all that God wanted them to be? Remember this idea of the vine. Come back to my favorite cash crop at my home. I can't get rid of that stuff. I can't pray it away. I can't poison it away. I'm going to keep praying for God to magically transform it to blue bonnets. Because that's what God has to do with us. Not magically, but to transform us so that our joy can be full. The very definition of a branch is that which is dependent upon the vine for everything. You break the connection, the vine's dead. Think about what happens in healthy plants. Being connected to the vine means a number of things happen. Sometimes you have to go through times of pruning. Sometimes you got to trim the limbs, right? Sometimes you got to cut the grass. This year, all the time, cut the grass. Some things have to be adjusted. Sometimes you have to change. But consider the life of Peter. Remember, Peter's sitting there listening. Peter was inner circle. Peter was one of the homeboys, as we said earlier. He's in the middle, okay? And he's talking to them. He's listening to them going, okay, yeah, yeah, I'm with you. Do you know what happened just a few weeks after this? Aren't you with him? Oh, no, not me. Nope. I don't know who he is. I have no idea. We'd call that a failure, by the way. He is learning, adjusting, becoming part of what God has for him. And sometimes you go through the struggles, and sometimes they're going to go through the great times, and sometimes there's going to be a harvest, and sometimes there's going to be barrenness. And this is not an okay-to-everything approach, but it's this. Remain in the branch. The branch remains in the vine. There's going to be plenty in his time. Here's what I want you to grasp, and I'm done. In the Spirit, you will find what? Plenty. You'll find plenty. You go, well, my plenty doesn't look like his plenty. No, it probably won't. My plenty doesn't look like her plenty. That's okay. You will find plenty for what God has for you. It's a word of encouragement to you as we finish up. What you will find is not only a productive life, a peaceful life, a passionate life, you will find that you will be satisfied with where God has you. You'll go, this is good. See, if you're going through life feeling like you're missing out on so many things, by choosing to surrender to the leading of God, you'll go, okay, this is what he has for me. I'm going to go here. I'm going to follow him. You're going, well, that's kind of narrow. Shouldn't you do like everything? You can't do everything. It will never happen for you to do everything. It cannot happen in your life to do everything. Churches have too much going on to do everything. So I'm giving you permission to not do everything. You like that? Do what God calls you to do. and you'll be happy. You'll be productive. You'll be plentiful. A life with no regrets. See, when you say yes to God's leading, you know what else you get to say? No, I can't do that. No, I'm not going to be a part of that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what God has. Some of you this morning, you're going, man, that sounds kind of cool. You may not use the word cool. That's okay. I'd like to have what he has, what they're talking about this morning. Can I tell you something? It's available. Well, how do I get it? Is there a special class? Do I have to do something special? Do I have to give something to get it? What do you do? If you're here this morning and you've never met Christ personally, you've heard about him, you've talked about him, but you've never met him, and in your heart right now you sense this, I think there's a next level. God has something for me. Do you know who that is speaking to you? It's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, follow me. Follow me. Surrender to him as more than a historical figure. Surrender to him as your Savior. Some of you, that's what you need to do. Some of you this morning, you've experienced salvation, but then you took the reins and you said, I'll drive. I'm going to take the wheel. I'll drive. You can live like that. Billions do, but you won't find his joy. What do you say here? You lead. Some of you, it may be this. God's been speaking to you about a ministry, a service, an area, a place to connect. What is it? Don't say no. Say yes. Next step. Let me close with this. God gives the Spirit, allowing you to bless God and those around you, as well as you, if you want to add that in there. Father, we thank you for this day and letting us be in your house. I pray for those who maybe have never met you. Lord, we would never assume there isn't anyone in this place who's never met you as Savior. Father, we believe that you send people that way to us on a regular basis. So we pray, God, that you would show them their need. And Lord, they may want to come forward and talk to a counselor. They may just want to catch one of our staff after service. They may just need to go home and think about it. Father, we pray that you would lead them as you see fit. We also pray for those who have other decisions to make this morning, some to connect to this body of believers, some to hand the reins over, the steering wheel over to you and say, you lead, God. God, we want your Spirit to move in us, through us, not only as individuals, but as a body of believers. We pray for your moment now as you call us to decision. Let us respond to you in a way that blesses you, that blesses others, and Lord, thankfully blesses us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing. You respond as God's leading you to do that. Our staff will be here. I'll be here. We have counselors who would love to pray with you as well.